Man, an incredible story this morning. Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. In this passage, we come to an absolute collision between the humanity of Jesus and his deity. And we see them both in full effect. Thank you for reading that passage, Ernie. And I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 11. That's where we'll be this morning. John 11. And in fact, in just a minute, you'll see our outline come up on the screen. I want to let you know where we're going this morning as well. Jeff, could you hit forward one? Get that one to come up here. Yeah, there we go. We're here on Easter Sunday celebrating the resurrection of Jesus, but our story is about Jesus raising someone else from the dead. But that's not a bad thing because they're very closely related. So I want you to be aware of that and be looking forward to our text. Is my mic really loud? Does it sound okay to y'all? Okay, it seems really loud to me, but if it's all right with y'all, then that's fine. Okay, good. So, the day Jesus wept and death lost. First thing we're going to see this morning is that there's a miracle that awaits. And you already got to see a little bit of what happens in the story while Ernie was reading, right? You know that Jesus is going to stand in front of Lazarus' tomb and say, "Lazarus, come out." And the man who was dead, life and breath are going to enter his body, and he's going to get up and walk out of the tomb with grave clothes still on him. You know that's going to happen, okay? Just like we come to Good Friday a couple days ago, and the focus is on the death and the sufferings of Jesus for our sin as an atoning sacrifice. He was without sin, and God put our sin on him so that we could be forgiven of our sin, and he would pay the penalty so that we didn't have to. But even in that sadness, it's tough for us to be so sad and depressed on Good Friday because we know that there's a good ending coming, that Good Friday leads to Resurrection Sunday morning. So it's hard to be too depressed, and it's hard for us to be too depressed when we read about what Jesus did here. And that's part of the thing that makes this story so interesting, I think, because you notice that there was a lot of sadness here. Did you notice that while we were reading? Look back down with me. John chapter 11, beginning in verse 33. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping. Lazarus is dead. Lazarus and his sisters, Mary and Martha, were friends with Jesus. Jesus knew them well. Earlier in the chapter, when they were delivering news to Jesus about Lazarus being sick, they told him by saying, "Lord, the one you love is sick." You see that in verse 3, 11:3. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." So there's a background relationship here that we don't know a whole lot about because we're just starting to learn about Lazarus here in chapter 11. But Jesus comes on the scene after traveling for a day or two and after actually waiting 2 days longer after he finds out Lazarus is sick, and he comes to find what would be a normal first century funeral ceremony that lasted for a couple days, and there would be people weeping and wailing out loud. In fact, this seems a little bit strange to us, but this is what they would do. They would actually hire, if you had enough money to do this kind of thing, they would actually hire weepers and mourners to come and cry along with you and to wail. I mean, I guess it may not be all that strange if we think about it, because if you've been to a funeral where somebody is especially distraught and crying out loud and they're the only one doing it, all eyes are on that person. So maybe, you know, there was a lot of courtesy here in why they did that. I'm not sure exactly how it all started, but this is the way they did it. So there were a huge group of people here. They were all mourning along with Mary and Martha at the death of Lazarus. And it's a good chance that a lot of you here in this room, maybe not everybody, but probably the vast majority, have been in a very similar kind of situation as Mary and Martha here. Absolutely distraught. Your world is crushed because someone that you love has succumbed to our great enemy, death. And Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along also with her weeping. He was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. tells us twice in this passage that Jesus was deeply moved. You see it again in verse 38 as well. This is kind of one of those places where our translations almost aren't vivid enough, where verse 33 says he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Those words together, when they're used in other places in the Bible, a lot of times it's translated as something like rebuked sharply or some kind of angry response. And the word troubled there is, it's used at least one time for water that is stirred up and is maybe not thinking of like the big great storm. What was that movie a few years ago? The Perfect Storm. You know, maybe not like 60-foot waves like you see in that. But I mean, it's